Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Wednesday, March 3rd, and quick turnaround here. Wesley, real quick, how many days till Selection Sunday?
11 days.
All 11 days. We are getting ever closer. We are becoming a lot more active on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure to check us out there, Made in March Podcast, underscores between every word. And because March Madness is so close, our special segment today is actually involving, you know, a little key insight that we might see for the upcoming March Madness. And so, today's quick question of the day. Alex, would you like to let the audience know what that is?
Yeah, so our special segment today is going to be unranked teams that we think can make a deep run in March, or teams that have the potential to make a deep run in March.
Yeah, because obviously for a team that's not even in the top 25 now, you know, they're not without their problems. And so it's kind of hard to guarantee like that they make a deep run, but these are teams that, you know, if they get hot at the right time, you know, play well as a team, have the potential to make it Elite Eight, Sweet 16, possibly Final Four, who knows, run in March.
And these are all three of our teams. We believe that they are going to obviously make the tournament in the first place, and we believe that they all deserve a spot as of where they sit currently and going forward. So
yeah, so Wes, you want to lead it off here?
Yeah, so the team that I'm picking is out of the ACC, and it's Syracuse. So Syracuse kind of had a weird start. They're not many well-known players in that team other than Buddy Boeheim, who seems to be kind of like a headline kind of player. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much all they have. But a lot of guys in that team have gone unnoticed. Obviously, Buddy Boeheim's kind of like a 20-point per game kind of guy.
Yeah, Buddy Boeheim.
I don't know if he leads the ACC in scoring, but he's got to be up there. Another guy that's gone unnoticed is Alan Griffin. He's a junior forward who's kind of taking a step this year, averaging 15 points per game and shooting 36% from three as a forward. And obviously, Dolezal, who's kind of been a household name, I guess, in Made in March for the last year or two. And another guy, Quincy Guerrier. I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name, but he's another 15-point per game kind of guy. They have an incredibly offensively, I don't know how, well-distributed.
Like, yeah, underrated almost.
Underrated, yeah, all-around offense. They have a guy that can kind of take over a game, and Buddy Boeheim, he can get you buckets when they need it. And also, it's fair to say that Cuse is a turning team. There's just no way without saying March Madness without having Cuse in there, in my opinion.
With Jim Boeheim at the helm for them,
yeah,
Syracuse is always dangerous in March.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what seed they are because they've proven they can do it whenever and whatever seed they are. It doesn't matter. But I really like the Syracuse team. I really think anything's possible. And obviously, March, everything's out the window. It doesn't really – your seed means nothing. It's all just how you got there and, like, what you've built in the team that you kind of have coming in. And it's kind of also how you're streaking.
Yeah, they're coming off a nice win versus North Carolina.
North Carolina, and then they just beat Clemson today. All Clemson, former ranked team, now deemed fraudulent team. But still, they're a solid team, so it's a good win. Good two wins for Cuse. We'll see what they can do in the ACC tournament, see if they can pick up some big wins, and kind of build and boost their confidence going into March Madness. Hoping they make the tournament as of right now, I think they're probably in on probably the 9 or 10 line, I'd say, something
like
that.
Yeah, Cuse will get in. Got to imagine.
I think they should.
Right now, I think they're 15-8, so let's say they pick up a win in March, and then the ACC tournament, they'd be 16-9 then, assuming they obviously don't win it. And they should definitely get in at that record, I would say, but this team is scary.
I like the pick as well. I think it's a little different Syracuse team as previous years. Like, obviously, the Cuse zone is what is most commonly known with the Jim Boeheim Cuse team. The zone isn't as good this year, but they're a pretty high-powered offensive team, so I like the pick.
Yeah, it's totally a different Cuse team.
It's a weird team. It's the same thing with, like, West Virginia. West Virginia, normally a defensive, like, hound dog team. They still are, but they're an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
I will follow that one up with a team out of the Big Ten. I've been talking about them a lot recently. This team's really, really started growing on me. Who would have thought? Mark Turgeon coach team. I'm going with the Maryland Terrapins as my unranked team that I think can make a deep run of March Madness. So Maryland, the reason that I'm on this is because they've been playing a lot better lately. Their last two games, I think they play tonight, but at the time of this recording, that game has not happened yet. A win versus Michigan State by 18 points when Michigan State was coming off two straight wins versus Illinois and Ohio State. So impressive win there. And then the game before that was a win versus Rutgers, who I know you guys love to hate, but it was at the rack. Rutgers had been playing decent up until that point. So those are two impressive wins. And the rest of their schedule is very light. I think they play Northwestern tonight, and they end their season with Penn State. That's pretty easy. I see two wins on that table. That shows me a team with momentum. But here's what I really like about their team. They've got nice pieces. you know, kind of sort of like Cuse, although Cuse has Buddy Boeheim, whose name, you know, pops off the screen.
And yeah. he can go into takeover and mode.
He can go into takeover mode. Yeah. The one thing about Maryland, they don't really have, I don't think, that guy that can go into takeover mode. However, they have a lot of valuable pieces. Dante Scott, very athletic piece. Obviously, Aaron Wiggins is solid. But my favorite player on this team is Eric Ayala. He's averaging about 15 a game. Very experienced. I think he's a junior. But he always tends to take care of the ball, and he knows how to get his. You know who he kind of reminds me of? Carlique Jones on Louisville. Tell me if you guys agree or disagree with that one.
I like it because he's kind of sneaky. He knows his game. He knows like what works for him. And he's also a really good leader.
He's a leader out there. And that's what I love about Maryland. Like, he leads that team, but at the same time, they just jive together so well as a team. Like, it's not rare to see Maryland have a game where all five starters are in double figures.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about this team. They play so well. They jive as a team. And, hey, I'll even give credit to Mark Turgeon. I think he's done an incredible coaching job this year. And I think as long as they're still jiving the way they are right now, this Maryland team, Elite Eight potential.
That's fair. It's a bold prediction, obviously, but it's this is a team basketball. This is a full team. It's not anybody. There's no egos, I guess, clashing. No guy is going to be like mad that he's not getting enough shots. But honestly, that's kind of the teams that win in March are the
it depends
team
you know,
driven.
Sometimes
I'd say.
You'll see like Kemba Walker, UConn teams, or some guy takes over. But you will also see this.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
speaking of Kemba Walker, UConn teams, my team actually, who I think is going to make a deep run, is UConn. Obviously, we know what they've been able to do in recent history in March Madness, making deep runs with Cardiac Kemba and then Shabazz Napier, Ryan Boatwright, those couple teams. And they've got a player this year very similar to Kemba, in my opinion, James Bouknight. I wouldn't say he's as good, but their play styles are very similar. Elite scorers, they lead their team. And James Bouknight has other pieces around him. RJ Cole's really stepped it up as of late, scoring in double figures his last 12 games. And I think Tyrese Martin's a very good utility piece for this UConn team. He does a little bit of everything. I just really like UConn behind James Bouknight to possibly make a deep run.
Bouknight's the kind of player that we see every March Madness who just takes over a game.
Absolutely.
He just says, this is my game, no one's taking it from me, and I'm dropping 30 points.
Kind of like the Ja Morant of 2 years ago kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
and
it's his team.
And Bouknight is that special of a player where it is not out of the realm of possibility for him to do that 3 games in a row and
that's
carry
you
kind of the Elite Eight.
Kind of like Rob Gray of years ago.
Although Rob Gray never carried his team that far, but...
Yeah. Maybe a Mickey Mouse shot, you know...
Yeah, this UConn team throughout the year, they've struggled with COVID.
Yeah, they've only played 18 games.
They've missed a few games, but they've been playing a bunch recently as of late, like not many cancellations. So I think they're starting to find their stride. I think they have a good chance to win the Big East tournament as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the Big East is kind of wide open, that tournament. Anybody
can
win it.
For sure.
You know, I kind of like all these picks. I think all these teams have potential to make runs. But once again, at the end of the day, these are unranked teams. They're not without their flaws. All these teams are flawed.
Exactly.
I mean, Maryland doesn't really have a star. I would say Cuse, their defense is not what it normally is.
Yeah, it's more.
And UConn is pretty darn heavily reliant on James Bouknight.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, these are teams that have that potential to be that Cinderella run.
And these are teams that are going to fall from, like, the 8 to 11 seed mark. That's where we expect them to be,
possibly
I think.
Possibly 7, I think.
Maybe
Maryland,
7.
Maryland.
Here, there,
Maryland.
I think Maryland could
Maryland
be 7.
If, especially if they went out against two subpar teams, I think they could definitely pick up a 7. But, yeah, these are all teams that, are obviously, they have their flaws, like Charlie said. And, honestly...
But they got that potential.
But they have the
potential.
They
got that potential.
And they have just, like, that it factor that can take them over the top to make a little bit of a run in March.
Absolutely.
But that kind of wraps up this little special segment we have. Now we'll move back into our recap, and that's starting on Monday, March 1st, where Dayton picks up a big win against the Bonnies, who are arguably the best team in the A-10. Maybe not. Maybe
it's the same
CCU,
time. Nobody,
maybe
you nobody really know. Knows with the
we
A-10.
We never know.
Same time, it could be the LaSalle Explorers. Like, the A-10 has really thrown us for a loop this year.
It's a crazy conference. I honestly, like, the Big East, you can say, the Big East is a crazy conference too, but you could say... Favorites are definitely Creighton and Nova to probably win the Big East tournament. I don't think there's a favorite in the A-10.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But as you were saying, though, up until that game...
The Bonnies are the best team.
St. Bonaventure was getting a good amount of hype, good amount of buzz behind them. I feel like they were, like, second most in votes received from the AP Top 25 the prior week.
Yes, the week before, correct.
That's a tough loss to suffer if you're a Bonnie.
Yeah.
It's a tough loss, but I still think the Bonnies are almost a lock to make the Big Dance.
Really?
I think
really?
So.
You think they're a lock?
I think
a lock. I mean, they haven't played many games, though. That's what I'm worried about, especially first, with a mid-major.
First in the A-10, I mean, 13-4. They've got some quality wins on their resume, so I think they're a lock, personally.
Really?
We'll see. If they get bounced in the first round of the A-10 tourney, that doesn't really scream lock to me. But
yeah. I mean, they got some good wins earlier in the season when, like, Richmond was high-ranked and, like, people were high on St. Louis, I guess. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I would love to see the Bonnies in the tournament, though.
It's just a cool name, the Bonnies.
That's it. Right? That's a phenomenal name. Moving on to some ACC action. Virginia picks up a win against Miami, but Miami does cover, so we go around the horn. We are all correct on the
victory
cover.
Victory lap around the horn. Yeah, what was it? Virginia
62
minus 14?
14.5. Yeah, 14.5. All right. Yeah.
Virginia doesn't cover a 14.5 point spread, even if they're playing a high school team. That's just the way Virginia plays.
Fair. Also, yeah, but what was your stat about Miami losing by, like,
losing by double figures in a lot of their games?
They lost
by double figures.
Hey, but they cover the line. Anybody that bet with Made in March on this game, your
wallet just got chubbier.
Yep. You can have a nice little victory cigar after that one. This is a mentionable game because Richmond was ranked earlier in the season, and they lost to a pretty much a meme team in St. Joe's.
Oh, man.
Bad.
Yeah, that's just the A-10.
St. Joe's is 4-14.
Being wild.
It's just wild. I don't know what to do with the A-10. It's crazy. Rutgers suffers a bad loss at the hands of Nebraska, 72-51, just a stomping.
You know what?
This game was bad.
It's
bad. I need to hear an explanation.
It's time. It's time for Charlie to eat some crow. As everyone knows, I've been like Rutgers' biggest fan these past few years, and you know, this game really brought me down. It was a truly awful game for Rutgers. Geo Baker, I don't even know if I want you guys to list this stat line because I know it was not pretty.
I mean, I got you if you want it.
You know what? We bring the truth to the people. People need to hear the truth. They deserve it. Let it rip.
2-10 from the floor. 0-6 from 3. Mm. 4 points.
Rutgers as a team shot 13% from 3 and 39% from the field.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those games where you just want to draw it up to bad shooting, but that truly wasn't it. Rutgers could have shot well that game. They still had a loss. Exactly. Because Nebraska was having their way on the offensive end.
Their defense did not look good whatsoever.
Like, Nebraska put in their scrubs with, like, 5 minutes left. Like, this game was actually more of a blowout than the final score indicates.
True.
I will not sugarcoat this at all. The only, like, semi-silver lining I have about this game is that Nebraska had been, for their standards, which admittedly are low,
relatively high.
That's like if you're, like, a 3 and you pick up, like, a 6 at the bar. Like, it's, like, above your standards. Like, you're overachieving. That's what Nebraska did, if we want to put it into terms like that.
I mean, also a note about Nebraska, to kind of play devil's advocate here, is they were without their best player, Teddy Allen.
I know. And once again, I said I was not going to cover. Anyways, you want to know a fun fact about this game.
What's your fun fact?
Let's hear it.
Before the game, Rutgers was 32 in the net. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Close to top 25.
And they dropped probably about...
You know what this game only dropped them to?
What?
37.
That's only a 5-point drop,
I mean,
in the net.
It's probably,
that's not...
Q3 loss would be
no
my
way
guess.
It's not a Q... there's this
yes,
had to have been. You think so?
Probably
Q2 or Q3.
It would be, I would like have the bottom Q2. Barrel of Q3. Maybe.
Regardless, it only dropped them 5 points the net, which if you're a Rutgers fan, honestly, you got to just be...
Surprise.
You take that and run. Because this was a bad loss,
and
there's no other way to put it.
A 21-point loss to the worst team.
To hashtag NebraskaBall.
Hashtag NebraskaBall. Meme team certified. As
they
of
are,
last year, for sure.
This year as well. They're
this year as well.
So, yeah, no other way to put it. Bad game for Rutgers. Rutgers needs to bounce back if they want to make the tournament.
Yes.
Can't believe I'm saying it, but it needs to happen.
It does need to happen. Moving on to some ACC play. The team that I mentioned as a sleeper team, Syracuse, picked up a win against North Carolina 72-70. I think this is the game that Buddy Boeheim went absolutely ballistic.
Yeah. He is quite fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. He is fun to watch. I mean, because he's always going to put up 6 threes a game at least. And I'd say a good 30 to 40% of those are going to go in. So he's a fun player to watch. And he kind of can bring that spark to this team. And he's a streaky shooter, too. So when he gets hot, he gets hot. And they're a fun team to watch in Cuse.
But this was a classic bubble watch game. I would say
I
both of these teams were sort of on the bubble, whether mm-hmm. they get in, get out, and, mm-hmm. you know, Cuse solidified their spot. North Carolina maybe dropped down a little bit.
A little bit questionable. But moving on to the best game of the night, Okie State completes the season sweep of Oklahoma, 79-75. It was a phenomenal game. That's all it needs to be.
Very fun to watch.
Sweep. I mean, what can I say? Oak State, they're still underrated. Give them more credit.
Somehow, that's actually, I, I agree with that.
I don't, and I'm going to tell you why.
Really?
What are they ranked right now? 16 in the nation?
17.
What do you think they're going to be next Monday? 12? 11?
Okay. I think they're still underrated until I see next week's ranking.
Okay. But I agree with you that Okie State...
deserves respect.
Deserves a lot of respect. I mean, Cade Cunningham, obviously five-star freshman, probably
best
freshman
best
of the year,
freshman.
If we're going to be honest with ourselves.
He
started off this game just like...
2 points in the first half.
He didn't,
he didn't
make his first field goal until there was like 8 minutes left in the game. However, once that one dropped, then he gained that confidence. Then they kind of all started to drop for Cade Cunningham.
Yep.
He's just a clutch player. He turns it on at the end of games.
With 5 minutes left, close game, you know who the ball is going to. It's
mm-hmm.
going to Cade, whether he's scoring or passing, making plays for his teammates.
Exactly.
The ball is going to be in his hands.
Exactly. And he was not. He's a great free throw shooter, so he has the ability to attack, draw fouls, and knock down 80 to 90% of his shots.
And speaking of free throws, he made some very clutch free throws
at
the end
of the game
to ice it down.
9 of 10 from the line for Cade.
Yeah.
As far as Oklahoma's concerned, though, like, I would say don't hop off them by any means.
Probably.
Because here's what I saw in Oklahoma. I saw Brady Manek have his first good game in what seemed like a century.
Yeah. And he was confident, and he was like...
He was
wanted
shooting
the ball.
He wanted the ball. And
Brady Manek has been pretty much pass first the entire year, I'd say. Up until this game, he's been a pass first player. And I think they need him to be more look for a shot.
They need him on the offensive end if they want to go places in March.
And I think this is the sign of good things to come, hopefully, for Oklahoma. Obviously, still a loss, but...
Yeah, it's just a good
positive,
game, really.
Positive for them.
Also, how about Caleb Boone for Oak State?
Oh, my gosh.
Caleb 8 of 9 from the floor, 17 points, 9 boards. He was dominating down low.
He was. Although Manek is a power forward, technically. He's more of kind of a stretch because he's like a stretch big, I'd say, because he's more of a shooter, obviously, than a down low player.
Yeah.
So Caleb Boone kind of had his way with him. But that wraps up the games from Monday, moving into Tuesday with probably the best doubleheader we've seen on a weekday other than Saturday, obviously, normally. But Baylor, on the road, picks up a phenomenal win against West Virginia in overtime, 94-89. If you didn't watch this game screamed March Madness.
Yeah, you missed out.
Final Four.
Yep.
March Madness.
I think that's exactly what I was going to say.
It screamed Final Four.
So competitive. Watching these two backcourts go at it was incredible. I mean, if you saw our Twitter, I think we all think West Virginia's got one of the most underrated backcourts in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Deuce McBride, Sean McNeil, and Taz Sherman, they combined for a great backcourt.
And they're going up against maybe the best backcourt in the country of Davion and Mitchell, Maceo Teague, and Jared Butler. So,
those players were in double figures, and three of them scored over 20. So,
yeah,
it was a phenomenal game.
Went into overtime,
and it was competitive throughout. I mean, that last little sequence, though, at the end of regulation where they kept throwing the ball back and forth, I'm like, I just want to see somebody, like,
chuck
make
a
fadeaway
shot.
Three. Like, ice it. That would have been nice.
But how about Matt Mayer coming down the stretch for Baylor? Credit Scott Drew, put him in crunch time, and he came through
big. Let's not just credit Scott Drew. Let's also credit Matt Mayer's barber, because he got him right for that game.
Yeah.
If you saw his hair, you would absolutely know.
He just looked kind of like a funny-looking guy in that one.
A little bit,
but he got the job done, and I think he's a key player for them. He was sniping at the end of the game and then also kind of into overtime. So
he's a very streaky player.
Streaky player, fair to say. And also, have to mention, Jared Butler fouled out in this game with about 2 minutes left in overtime, 3 minutes left in overtime. So, and obviously, he was their key player. He scored the final bucket with 2 or 3 seconds left in the game to tie the game up. Force overtime, so that was a huge win for Baylor, especially without their best player,
Absolutely.
Big 12 player.
I feel like as Baylor's kind of getting back into their rhythm because they were having some COVID breaks.
Yes.
But as far as West Virginia's concerned, I absolutely love their offense.
Yep.
And I said this off air, I think if the bracket were to drop today, West Virginia would be my winner pick to win it all. I love the way they play. I love a good old Huggins coach team.
Yeah.
And I tend to if I can, not pick a one seed, because then, like, if the not one seed obviously wins, you automatically win your pool, basically.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the case with West Virginia. I love the way this team plays, despite the loss.
And it's not like their defensive prowess or full court pressure, half court pressure has gone away. It's stayed there, and they've brought in this offensive, their defense is
It's not the best.
It's not a classic West Virginia defense, no. But this is an offensive juggernaut that we haven't seen from a West Virginia team in
years.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. A long time. So
just a great game, really.
Phenomenal game. Sad if you did not tune in. I apologize for your eyes for not being able to see that one. Arkansas picks up a big win against South Carolina, 101-73. Arkansas getting back to their run and gun, kind of throw it down your throat kind of game.
Arkansas is rolling right now.
They're rolling. They're hot.
They're hot.
If they stay hot into the conference tournament, I think they could end up on the
three line.
You think they could get up to the three line.
They could get up to the three line.
If they win the SEC tournament, they'll definitely.
Oh my! They're locked. They're the minimum seed. They're going to be is a three if they win the SEC tournament.
We shall see.
That's the classic line. But the second part of this doubleheader on ESPN: Illinois at Michigan, and Illinois hands it to Michigan without Iwadosunmu. Iwadosunmu was reportedly playing up until about 30 minutes before the game. He's like, "Nah, I am not playing." He was fully dressed to play. He had his uniform on, everything, and he didn't play. But
sometimes I feel like it's helpful to take a step back and look at like the bigger picture of things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's just what happened in this game. Illinois, who was ranked four at the time, beat number two Michigan,
a one-loss Michigan team,
who some were saying were the best team in the nation, by 23 points, without Iwadosunmu,
the
second best player in the country. If that doesn't tell you something about Illinois, I don't know what will. Alex, I know you absolutely love Illinois, so say your piece here.
See, you are correct. I love Illinois, and mm-hmm. without Io, I think it's actually kind of nice for Illinois. Like, win-lose this game, they're still going to be on the 1 or 2 line, I think. But Andre Curbelo stepped into a much larger role, and he's really lived up to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, 17 points, 6 boards, 2 assists for Curbelo in this game. He was super efficient.
Yep.
Found his teammates, and then Trent Frazier has stepped up big as well.
And he's kind of been that guy for years, but like I remember 2 or 3 years ago, Trent Frazier like was the guy in Illinois, and he's kind of taken a backseat to Io and Kofi, obviously, but he's still got the talent, and he can get you buckets, and he proved that today on the road, again, in the Big House.
When his number gets called, like he steps up to the plate, he knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, he played incredible, and they really needed that, so... It's good to see the guards getting experience, too, in big moments in big games, other than Io, obviously. So I think that bodes well for Illinois coming down the stretch and obviously moving into the big dance as well.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, moving on to some SEC play. Alabama gets back to their winning ways here, winning 70-58, although it's kind of a weird win for Bama, winning scoring 70. Probably doesn't happen as much.
They still no Sharif Cooper for Auburn.
For Auburn, yeah, they play in Auburn.
Yeah, Bama still needs to get their offense kind of back to where it was a few weeks ago.
Yes, I agree.
Like, I haven't seen that same spark.
Yeah, as of the last 2 to 3 weeks, it's been kind of 70 to 80 point games when normally they're like 90 plus.
Yeah,
they can
yeah.
like shoot like 40% from three. I don't know. Yeah, they need to get back into it if they're going to make a run in the big dance, obviously. Texas and Texas Tech both pick up easy wins against Iowa State and TCU, respectively. And then today was the start of conference tourneys on this Tuesday. It was the Horizon League. Obviously,
Noted meme conference.
Now, obviously, we're not going to mention any games here because it doesn't really matter until the final here, but I'm just going to say that the Horizon League had probably 3 to 4 overtime games on Tuesday, and every game was close. So,
yep.
Good to see some good meme league competitiveness, I would say.
Dude, shout out the Horizon League.
It's
just
fair.
Based on these scores, all these games going overtime, you can tell how much these players want it.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting for a bid. They know they got to win their conference tourney, so
mm-hmm.
respect stocks.
And this is a friendly reminder that the way that teams punch their ticket into March Madness, if they're not in a Power 5, Power 6 conference, is they have to win their conference tournament.
Yep.
So all these mid-major conferences that you might not think matter, whichever team wins that conference tournament is getting into March Madness. And how do you know which of the mid-major teams is going to be the one to pull off an upset? You watch their conference tournaments. So this is kind of the time of year where mid-major basketball becomes important. And listen, that's where we got your guys back. We're the kings of mid-major
knowledge.
Exactly.
Although, I doubt any of us will be picking a Horizon League team to win a game in March. It's still the start of great things to come. Still worth to mention, obviously. Some more Big Ten play. Michigan State picks up a phenomenal win against Indiana at home. bouncing back in a way. They're 14-10 now. Obviously, they're probably a lock for the tournament after their wins against Ohio State and Illinois.
Lock?
See,
really? You
I
kind of so.
Thought that last week too, but I've been inspecting some expert bracketology.
They have them on
expert
a
with
expert
quotations
yeah,
around
quotations.
Them.
Leonardo, if you're listening, we want you to get on the podcast. I know you joined all West Troyers, but ours is way better. But yeah, like I've been seeing some experts have Michigan State as like some of their like last team in, second to last
yeah,
team in.
I don't know.
So they're still quite
still,
on the bubble.
Yeah, but I feel
not
like
not a lot quite yet.
But here's the thing is they've beaten Indiana twice now. Obviously Illinois, Ohio State, and then they
Rutgers
lost
when Rutgers was ranked.
Rutgers was ranked and then they lost to Maryland is the only
that's
but
not,
here's but
a,
here's what I'm saying. I think Michigan State should be locked. I kind of agree with you. They're 14-10.
Yes.
Let's look at Maryland. Maryland's 15-10.
Yeah.
And does not have near the amount of good wins as
and
Michigan
they're more
State.
Of a lock than Michigan
and they're
State.
Considered a lock by most. So I think Michigan State should be a lock, but I don't really know.
I don't know why teams feel
I'm
that
just
way.
Glad that Indiana's kind of out of consideration because I really do not like them.
Yeah, that's fair. They
not,
don't deserve
in my
too.
Opinion, that fun to watch.
Yeah, also another thing to know with Michigan State is they've got two games with Michigan as their final two. So
you think like maybe it was like speculation as if like
no, not necessarily.
They're
but
gonna lose.
What I'm
yeah.
saying is if they lose these two, then Stonk's not looking good.
They'd have to win at least a game or two.
But at the same time, you can look at it at the reverse. If they win one,
they need one,
then
and then
resume.
They
yeah.
should be a lock.
Yeah.
If they win one, like
I guess we'll have to just wait and see.
We'll wait and see. But I don't know why the Ohio State win and the Illinois win don't mean as much if they're still barely in. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever the voters see. But Georgia Tech versus Duke was an incredible game.
This is another
projected,
bubble watch.
Another bubble watch
matchup.
Game. Georgia Tech picks up an OT win at home against Duke, 81-77. Now, we were all watching this game, and Georgia Tech is fun to watch. Jose Alvarado is kind of the guy for Georgia Tech, but also Moses Wright. He's a dog.
Yep.
Moses Wright popped off that TV screen.
Oh, yeah.
13 for 20 from the field, 29 points, 14 boards. That's monstrous
He's
numbers.
He's a fiery guy out there, plays with
yeah.
a lot of energy, passion.
As you said, Jose
anger.
Alvarado,
mm-hmm.
he's that floor general out there.
He was yeah. also dinged up in this game, too.
Yeah. He had a bad hamstring, I think it was.
He kind of leads that team, and we were watching this game, and what did I say to you boys? I said, this team gives off the vibe
upset.
Of, once again, a team that can pull off upsets.
Yes.
You know, they've got that leader out there. They got that passion. It's mm-hmm. If you're watching that game, there's no way that you didn't look at Georgia Tech and be like, this team might be interesting to watch in the big dance.
I agree. They just give off that like spark, and they have that energy, too, and they have like that grit and dog inside of them, I guess. I don't know. It was a phenomenal game, though.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech pretty much had this one on lock when it went to OT because Matthew Hurt fouled out. And we all know Matthew Hurt's the best player on Duke. And
arguably the
close.
Only consistent scorer
He's
on that
yeah.
team.
The heart and soul of Duke, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to say that Duke's got literally one player that can get them a bucket most times, but that's just kind of where we are these days. Purdue picks up a win against Wisconsin, 73-69. Although Wisconsin is a floundering, kind of flopping team, they're a dead fish right now, I would call them.
I would as well.
Still a good win for Purdue
yeah.
at home.
Oh, great win. How about Jack Eady? Charlie, I know
yeah.
you didn't think he was all that before this game, but like...
I didn't think he was a bum, but like I was like, you know, Zach Eady is 7'4", and sometimes I see him out there and he doesn't do much. No, not in that game.
Not
he
today.
Had his way with
yeah.
Micah Potter and Nate Reavers.
Because Travion got into early foul trouble, so Eady played big minutes, and he just dominated down low.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Zach Eady had 21.7 rebounds on only 18 minutes. So that's phenomenal efficiency. 8 of 11
every
from
time,
the field.
Every time they go around the court, they just feed him down low.
It seemed like it would have been so easy to just toss a guard behind and poke the ball up. But, like, the Badgers could not
But no, because he got great position.
That's
catch
the key.
He'd bring it up, and there's no way Potter can,
exactly,
can
no
block
can
it because he's 7'4".
But
speaking of the Badgers,
it's
what's happening here in Madison? What's happening?
Oh, it's bad. It's really
How
bad.
Many games in a row have we lost?
Let's see. One, we have at least, like, five. I know we beat Northwestern. If you take out
yeah.
wins against Northwestern and Nebraska.
They've lost four out of their last five.
And then if you go back before the Nebraska game, they lost to Illinois as well. So, like,
Badger Stonks are down right now, but they are a pretty good tournament team, I would say.
It's kind of like
what?
Explain
that.
Years?
Explain that statement.
In recent years.
The last time they made the tournament, they lost first round. Okay. So, yeah, sure, maybe when they had Frank Kaminsky and offenses that would score.
Then they upset Nova.
You can't just say because this is the same college. It's a different coach, completely different team.
Not entirely a different coach. I would say...
He was on the staff, but whatever.
He was on the staff. Come on.
Assistant to the assistant coach.
Yeah. You can't say this school, this program has had success in past years, so you know what? They're just going to do it this year when so many things have changed.
You never know. Obviously, it's a different group of guys, but...
Especially considering their last time in the tournament got upset by a 12 seed. But I digress. I would love to see the Badgers do great. I'm just
in full doubt right now.
It's just, I don't see a world.
I'm in full doubt.
We win a game. I just don't see it.
Full doubt. There's no... They play very selfish. They all look for their own shot and don't look to get their teammates involved and get the better shot ever.
Just looks stagnant.
11 assists throughout the whole game. I mean, obviously, they're bricking a ton of shots. Brad Davison, 3 of 8 from 3. He actually played well. Mediocre. Not even, like, well.
For Brad Davison standards, he
played quite well. Led the team in points, but... It's so hard to watch. Everybody forces shots. And then, there's just no guy that can, like, get a consistent bucket. They have no real post presence. Nate Reavers is too small. I don't know. I'm a big doubter right now.
As am I.
I don't see, I'm right, like, as it sits currently, I do not see the Badgers winning the game in March.
Because do you ever see, like, after a Badgers loss, like, do you ever see the players, like, mad? Or, like... You just kind of see them walk off the court. I mean, obviously that could be completely speculation. Exactly. That could be completely wrong. But just something I've picked up on.
The too old argument may be coming to fruition.
It might be in play.
It may be in play as it sits right now. But that wraps up the games from Tuesday. Now moving into Wednesday. Some of the games have already wrapped up. So obviously some are still going on. We're recording a little bit earlier tonight. Just have to mention, Q's picks up their last win of the regular season against Clemson. Finishes on a good note, I guess, against a fraudulent, formerly mentioned Clemson team. UConn, as Alex mentioned, picked up a road win against Seton Hall today, 69-58. That game just wrapped up pretty recently here.
That's a good win to have for UConn.
That's a very good win to have for UConn. And Missouri picks up a win against Florida. I think, are they a bubble team? Or
no, Missouri is in.
They're in.
But... Not.
I don't envision myself picking Missouri necessarily, but
currently as it sits, I would probably agree with that. Yeah, definitely not. But then just some more games that are happening later tonight. Tipping off just about right now, actually, is Creighton Villanova, probably the game of the night. Battle of the Big East for who's arguably the top dog of the Big East. I'd say it's still Villanova. I don't think I see Creighton winning this game, but
I like Nova tonight as well.
As do I. Only way Creighton wins this game is if Mitch Balick just...
Has the eight...
His hands just turn into fire and eagles, like 7 for 8 from three.
It's possible, because he's done it before. And then a battle down in the Southland. Abilene Christian. We haven't really mentioned the Southland much this year.
Yes, because my Lumberjacks have not been as good as they were last year, considering last year they were going to make an Elite Eight run.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a Mickey Mouse argument, because you can't just say that.
They beat Duke and they had 3 losses on the year.
There's no transitive property because Duke didn't go anywhere either because there was COVID. How could you say that they're just going to make the Elite Eight?
Because I can, Wesley. They were 28-3. One of their losses was to Rutgers. Another one was to Alabama. Their other loss was to Texas A&M Cream Corn.
they had quality
wins against Duke and all the other Southland teams. They had one loss in conference play. Kevon Harris was like...
He was a dog, and everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that.
It's kind of a well-known fact.
This Stephen F. Austin team was going to get on, like, the 12 line. They were going to upset the 5. Then they were going to upset the 4. And then it was going to be a battle against a 1 seed. And I think it would have been a close game. So that's what would have happened last year.
All right. Speaking in existence.
However.
This year is different.
My Lumberjacks are not as good this year. What is their record, actually, in South?
15-4. 15-4 overall.
Not a bunch of bums.
15-4 overall, so I don't know.
They still have Gavin Kensmill.
Correct.
Cackle Reese. All the guys.
Yeah, but the team that's coming out of the Southland, as I would say probably right now, would be Abilene Christian, I believe. Abilene Christian.
Yeah, sorry, I took you off your rhythm there, my bad.
Dude, low-key Nichols, though.
Nichols
State?
13-2.
They're first in the conference. Just throwing it out
there. Bruh.
Abilene Christian.
They've played 15 games, though. Like, that's just like, oh. Abilene Christian, yeah.
But that's sort of like a Horizon League conference where...
No, it's not a... No, Horizon League is a perennial 15-16. I think
this is Southland unless SF Austin comes out of it.
This is going to be a 13 or 14, probably. 14, probably.
No.
14-15.
Really?
They're going to be low.
All
right. You obviously are not a grizzled vet of Southland hoops like I am.
All right, fine. This argument can be made, I guess. Fair. USC plays Stanford tonight. USC dropped out of the rankings this week. They've had some tough losses recently, although they're probably still the best team in the Pac-12, although the Pac-12 is pretty much impossible to predict and watch both.
Yes, both.
Both apply. And Maryland finishes the night up, taking on Northwestern. They need to win this one. There's no way around it.
Yeah, on the road if Maryland loses to Northwestern, I'm gonna have to come with some answers on next episode.
there must be answers.
There must be answers.
Otherwise, it's gonna be a tough one. But that wraps up the games to look forward to / games that have already completed on
Wednesday.
Depending on when you're listening. So we'll move into Thursday's games, and lines are out for Thursday's games. So we'll get a little bit of gambling advice.
Obviously, to see it.
Bet responsibly. But
absolutely, gotta add that in.
Bet responsibly, obviously. But we'll start off with some A-10 play. Dayton takes on Rhode Island on the road. Dayton's 3-point favorites.
And this is in the
A-10 tournament, correct?
A-10 conference tournament
starts. A-10 second round of tournament starts tomorrow. Also, the A-Sun.
So first round already happened?
It was probably the playing games because most teams already had byes. I think Rhode Island might have been in a playing game that they just won.
They might have. A-Sun quarterfinal is also tomorrow. Obviously, I think Liberty's the expected, team that's expected gonna come winner out of there. And they could be on the 12...
Yeah,
line, probably
could be on 12, 13.
12, they're,
they probably
they're,
will.
Yeah, they're if 12. They they're a 25
you gonna let,
team.
You going to let me give my prediction on the Rhode Island-Dayton game?
Well, let's hear it.
I got Rhode Island to cover that.
Cover the 3 points?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I like Dayton.
These teams are both, just sketchy as it gets.
Fats just hasn't been able to carry Rhode Island
at
this
all.
Year.
Like, at
I'm
all.
I'm taking Dayton to win this game and cover as well.
Yep, I agree with you, Wes.
But... we shall see, as some noted experts may say.
As noted experts have been quoted saying.
But later on in the night, we got Michigan. Obviously, we mentioned this game. Michigan hosts Michigan State. Michigan's 12-point favorites in this game. Do we see a bounce back after their drudging?
I think Michigan wins this game, but I think this is a tough cover. 12 points.
I agree.
Is it at Michigan?
It's home.
I disagree. I think Michigan comes back with fury. I don't think Juwan Howard...
Let's him do that twice.
Let's his team play bad two nights in a row. I think Michigan by 15.
I'm going to take Michigan State to cover in this game. I think that Michigan State has something to prove. I think Michigan wins this game. I would not see Michigan dropping two in a row. I just don't see that.
I agree with you, Wes. I like Sparty to cover.
And then arguably next, the game of the night here, we got Oklahoma State at Baylor. Now, if Oklahoma State wins on the road against Baylor... Following two beatings of Oklahoma, that would probably secure their spot in the
top
10.
They're not gonna, though.
It would secure their spot in the top 10.
Absolutely, but I think Baylor wins that game. What's the line on it, by the way?
Baylor, wow. I am shocked. Baylor is 11.5-point favorites.
Okay, yeah. Whoa, Oklahoma State, I am going to have cover that, but I got Baylor to win.
Wow. I like Okie State to win outright. I'm going to keep rolling with my Cowboys. They've been playing incredible basketball as of late. We'll see if Jared Butler is as good of a defender as people say. We'll see if he can guard Cade.
I like Baylor to win this one, but I do like Oklahoma State to cover because
that's a big
one. This is a Vegas must-know kind of moment because let me just mention the next Big 12 game. West Virginia hosting TCU. West Virginia's 13.5-point favorites. They are only 2-point more favorites against TCU than Baylor is against an Oklahoma State team that has just swept Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's one of those things that just doesn't add up.
But Vegas knows, though, so we can't really doubt them. But
Vegas
right now,
does tend to know.
Right now, based off our knowledge here, we would say bet Okie State to cover.
I'm thinking Okie State outright win, boys.
I bet. I mean, if the line's 11.5...
That's a bold call. You're dropping your nuts on the table.
The payout's got to be very weird.
I think Isaac likely will be back for this one for Oak State. And Baylor's offense in the first half against West Virginia didn't look that good.
Because they haven't
been
playing that many games lately, Alex. They've had COVID problems.
3.5 weeks off. They've had 3.5 weeks off.
So that's a drop your nuts on the table sort of moment. I respect the pick.
I think about that, though.
But I think it's a bad pick.
We shall see.
We shall see is right. But I bet the payout's pretty damn good for Okie State outright winning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okie State money line? Absolutely.
That'd be a nice payout. I still can't believe that line, but that's actually one of the lines that has just blown me out of the water this year.
I agree.
No words. Texas Tech hosting Iowa State. Iowa State's 2-19, but has kept a lot of games close with Big 12 teams. Yeah. Texas Tech 17.5-point favorites.
I mean, I don't really want to. I would never probably bet on that game.
I would never either. Actually, too sketchy. 17.5 is a monstrous
line. Like Iowa State to cover.
I would probably like Iowa State to cover, but I think we know who's winning the game.
Yeah, obviously we do. Also, the OVC, so that's the conference that Murray State came out of 2 years ago.
Ohio Valley.
The quarterfinal is also on this Thursday, so just kind of watch out for that conference, I guess. I don't really know if any team out of there can make any noise winning
games.
Austin Peay's all right this year.
All right. I feel like there's no, like,
There's Belmont as well. Belmont's a team. Yeah,
Belmont's a team. I kind of forgot Belmont was in the OVC. Yep. They're 24-3, so they're the team to beat. Iowa hosts Nebraska on Thursday, 16.5-point favorites.
Let's see what Nebraska's really got.
Yeah.
They're playing better lately.
If they get drudged by Iowa, then it's confirmed that was
just a very stinky loss for Rutgers.
No matter what happens, it's a stinky loss. It's how stinky.
How bad does it reek?
We don't know, but we will find out. Another phenomenal. The Big 12 and Big Ten do not disappoint. Oklahoma hosting Texas on Thursday. Oklahoma 2-point favorites in this one.
Oklahoma needs a bounce back win. I think they get it in that game.
I disagree.
Brady Manick keeps his confidence going. Come on.
I disagree. I think Texas is winning this game.
I like
Oklahoma
Texas
2-point favorites.
Well. Yeah.
Oklahoma's going to cover as well.
I'm taking Texas to win this game.
Texas to win outright as well.
Win outright, yep.
Bad pick, guys. Bad pick.
We shall see what happens. Colorado, now ranked 24th in the country.
Sco Buffs hosting
Arizona State.
When you said air, I thought you were going to say Eric Stevenson in Washington, and I was just ready for it.
Boy, I'm going to lose it.
Boston, Arizona State. All right, line.
11-point Colorado favorites. At home. Colorado at home.
See, this is a hard one to bet on because you never know who's playing for Arizona State. Like, Remy Martin has probably only played in half the games.
Josh Christopher's half, probably.
I don't know if Josh Christopher even plays anymore. Then you got, like, Alonzo Verge, he plays, I guess.
Marcus Bagley plays sparringly.
I just don't know if I see Colorado covering that line.
I like the win outright, though.
I like Colorado to win.
Especially,
you know,
at home.
In the altitude, Boulder. They tend to know how to play, but it's a big line for them.
Sco Buffs, but Arizona State's probably covering this one.
Yeah.
Especially if Remy Martin plays, I like them to cover this one. But that wraps up the games to look forward to on Thursday. Moving into Friday, obviously not too much here other than the MVC quarterfinals. So Loyola and the Bonnies, and I believe probably Drake will be in that quarterfinal games.
The Bonnies are in A-10. The
A-10. Sorry. I apologize. Also the A-10 quarterfinal. I was reading off all the games. Okay. A-10 quarterfinal and the MVC quarterfinal. All
right, so the conference tournaments, you know, in some of the mid-majors, they're starting to pick up now.
Yeah.
And that's when you really know. Like, in my opinion, that's sort of. Mm-hmm. When March Madness starts, obviously that's kind of a hot take. But
yeah, so MVC,
these are two tournaments you should definitely watch.
I agree.
MVC and A-10.
A-10 normally produces a phenomenal team. This year, there's not that, like, outright dog.
Yeah, normally
team, A-10's
got, like,
year.
Some sort of 6 seed, or, like, last year, Dayton would have been a 1 seed.
Exactly,
yeah.
Because there could be a two-bid MVC and A-10.
I agree. I think the MVC is way more likely with Drake and
I think
Loyola.
So as well.
I think it's close to a lock with Drake and Loyola Chicago, so... But we will see on that. And then obviously the A-10, the Bonnies, St. Louis, Dayton, all kind of VCU. Teams to keep an eye on in there. So,
yeah. But, any other games on Friday or no?
No, those are really the only games there, I guess. Just
Fridays are normally rather light.
Exactly. Until next week, or 2 weeks from 2 weeks from this upcoming Friday.
Then the real games start.
I don't know how I feel about March Madness starting on a Friday, though.
I know. That first Thursday is always so sacred.
It won't feel the same, but obviously...
It's March Madness, and I will be there for it.
No matter what.
Boys, want to go over the Saturday slate?
I don't know. Saturday slate, I feel like that would be a little bit of a commitment, unless you really want to go over it.
We should go over the Saturday slate.
All right, Saturday slate it is.
Saturday slate it
Alex
is.
Alex tells you what to do, you just fucking do it.
You just do it, regardless of what happens.
Obviously, Saturdays are generally the best day of college basketball. Saturdays are Tuesdays, I would say. So, kicking things off, we got Rutgers looking to bounce back against Minnesota.
Rutgers will bounce back against Minnesota.
I like Rutgers as well. Minnesota has not been playing very good basketball.
Rutgers
beat Minnesota a few weeks ago, if you want to go down that road, Wes.
Fine. I know I'm taking Rutgers, but like, man, this is just some. These are two Big Ten teams that started off quite well and have ended quite poorly.
Another massive Big 12 game. Okie State taking on West Virginia. Imagine if Oak State wins against Baylor and
Okie State's
Virginia.
End of year schedule.
Four top 20 wins in a row.
Okie State's schedule towards the end of this year is just brutal. Like, brutal.
Back heavy. Very back heavy.
Yeah.
Well, it's brutal, but it's helping them a lot.
I think it is too. It's really boosting their swooping up in the last couple weeks here.
We've got Bama taking on Georgia. Hopefully Bama can win that one.
Hopefully, yeah. I believe they will, though.
For sure. And then another Big Ten game, Illinois taking on Ohio State on the road. As we all know, Ohio State has lost, what, 3 or 4 games in a row? They have not been playing their greatest basketball, so we'll see if they can pick up a big win against Illinois.
I think they need this one big time, because if they lose this, that's 4 straight in a row going into the Big Ten tourney.
Yeah.
I don't know how that hurts confidence at all. So, but I love Ohio State, so I got them winning this game at home in Columbus.
And then a must-watch game, Duke-North Carolina. Obviously, both these teams are unranked, but it's the best rivalry in college basketball.
What does Jerry Billis say? It never disappoints.
It never disappoints.
It never does.
You need to tune into this game. And
it means a lot for UNC, too.
Yep.
Kind of, if they would like to make the tournament, at least.
And that just about wraps up the Saturday games. Made it quick for you, Chuck.
All right. Well, there you go. But, yeah, a little bit shorter today because, you know, we're coming back quick.
Yep.
But, yeah, once again, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Made in March Podcast. And until next time, this is Made in March.